sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
I want to bring your attention today to a familiar story in the Old Testament. It's a story we refer to as the story of David and Goliath. But I want to point out a few things that maybe most of the time we don't really think about. So first of all, let's look at Goliath. Reading from the Holloman Christian Standard Bible as it's translated into today's Weights and Measures, which makes it a little easier to understand here what we're talking about. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 4 through 7, it says, "Then a champion named Goliath from Gath came out from among the Philistine camp. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall." Think about that, 9 foot 9 inches tall. "And he wore a bronze helmet and bronze scale armor that weighed 125 pounds. There was bronze armor on his shins, and a bronze sword was slung between his shoulders. His spear shaft was like a weaver's beam, and the iron point of his spear weighed 15 pounds. In addition, a shield bearer was walking in front of him." Wow, what a description there of a guy. One of these people you'd hate to meet in a dark alley, as they say, because he's fully armed. He's got probably the best that the military had to offer at that particular time and place, plus the fact that he's 9 foot 9 inches tall. That's enough to scare you half to death anyway when you're facing someone like that. 9 foot 9 inches tall. Man, that's almost twice as tall as me. And big guy. But then let's look at David. And David, the Bible tells us, was young. Because in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33, it says, "But Saul replied, 'You can't go fight this Philistine. You're just a youth. And he's been a warrior since he was young.'" Now, as far as physical description of David, we really don't have a lot to go on. We can kind of go back historically what people most likely looked like at that particular time and age. So we know, being a youth, probably a teenager, maybe late teens, probably somewhere around maybe 5 foot tall, give or take a little bit. Probably weighed somewhere in the area of 120, 130 pounds, maybe, something like that. Not a very big guy in today's world. In fact, we know that as he was preparing to go in and fight this battle, that Saul wanted to give him his armor and his sword, and he said, I can't use it. It's just I've not tried it. And in fact, one translation says, he said, "I can't even hardly walk with it on here." So here he is. You got a giant out there who's 9 foot 9 inches tall. He's fully armed, armed to the teeth, as they might say. And then you've got a young man who is probably about 5 foot tall with no weapons of war, no armor, no anything like that. All he's really got is the things he picks up on the way, basically. And he's going out to face a seasoned warrior who is fully armed. Now think about this a minute. Would you like to be in those odds? You've got this giant who's coming at you, fully armed, and you've got nothing, almost. Well, it would seem that way. I mean, he's got 5 stones that he picks up as he's walking out to meet the giant. He's got his shepherd's sling. He's got that. But how's that going to match up to the weapon of war that this giant is carrying? I wouldn't like those odds. However, there's one thing that we don't often think about. David had something on his side that Goliath didn't. David had God on his side. Well, so go on here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40, it says, "And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." Then we skip to verse 49. "And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." Think about that. Just amazing. He's got nothing to work with, really, other than a rock. Probably not all that big a rock. I'm guessing maybe less than an inch in diameter. And it's a sling. And the giant's fully armed. But if you read the story, you find out he goes out in the name of the Lord. And when we go forth in the name of the Lord, God is on our side. Well, you find out here that the giant was slain. The victory was won. In fact, it goes on and tells us when the Philistines saw that their hero, their champion, had been killed, they fled the scene. They weren't going to take any more chances. They were getting out of town. They were leaving. David didn't have a whole lot to work with there, does it seem like. But with God on his side, what he did have won the victory. I want you to think about that a minute. What you do have with God on your side can bring about a victory. It can put victory in your hand. Another familiar story that's from the New Testament is the feeding of the 5,000. And I want to point out that there's also another story in there in 2 of the Gospels, the feeding of the 4,000, 2 separate events. But the feeding of the 5,000 is on all 4 Gospels, and we're choosing Matthew to read from. And it says, "When it was evening, the disciples came unto him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food." Now here it is. Jesus had arrived here. People had brought out the sick. They brought out the people that were possessed. They had brought out people with all sorts of problems. They'd come out to hear Jesus. Didn't matter that it was a desert place. And it seems now that it's gone well into the evening. It's past time to eat. And the disciples are saying, "Jesus, it's time to send them someplace that they can get something to eat here. You know, they're probably getting hungry." And I want you to think about yourself. If you're sitting somewhere and it gets past your dinner time and you start to get hungry, sometimes all you begin to think about is the food that you want for your stomach. Well, the disciples are probably thinking the same thing. "Jesus, we're hungry. It's time to eat." But Jesus in verse 16 said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." Just give them some food. They don't need to leave. In verse 17 it says, "And they said unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." I want you to think about this a minute, because in John's Gospel, which also tells us this story, we find in John chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Hey, Jesus, we got a little boy here. He's brought 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. His mama thought to pack him a lunch. But that's all we got. And we got this multitude here. How are we going to feed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish? In fact, as you go on and read the story, one of them says, Jesus is going to take X number of dollars to buy enough food, and we don't even have that kind of money with us. How are we going to feed them? But going on in Matthew chapter 14, skipping to verses 19 through 21, it says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. I'm kind of thinking about this here. Did he just keep breaking that same loaf of bread over and over, those same fish? It doesn't say. But it looks like he divided it up between the 12 disciples here, and they passed it out to the multitude, and as somebody took it out, more miraculously appeared. Because it goes on to say, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. Well, stop a minute here. Can you think about this little boy? Came to hear Jesus. His mama gives him a lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can you imagine he runs home, Mama, I got 12 baskets full of loaves and fishes here. I really don't know what they did with it. The scripture doesn't say, but that's just kind of a thought I've had. Can you imagine? Mama, I went to hear Jesus, and I had 5 loaves and 2 fish that you packed in my lunch, and now I got 12 baskets full of food here. Think about that. And it says, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Now, we've always referred to this story as the feeding of the 5,000, because that's the number of men that it says were there. But it says there was 5,000 men besides the women and the children. We don't really know how many people were there. It could have been 10,000. It could have been 15,000. It could have been 20,000. We don't know, because they only counted the men. 5,000, though, from 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, the little boy, when he went to hear Jesus, he probably thought he had plenty of lunch for himself. And, we're not told how big the loaves were or how big the fish were. I'm sure they weren't all that big. He goes there, I've got enough for me, but there's this big multitude there. There's no way. I hope they brought food, because, man, there's no way what I've got's going to feed everybody. But what he brought, Jesus multiplied. And it met the need. I want you to think about that. What you have to bring to the table, what God has blessed you with, what God has given you, you bring it to the table, and God can bless it, God can use it, and God can help it to meet the needs of the people. The Bible tells us the story of the feeding of the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6, as well as Matthew chapter 14, Luke chapter 9, and of course John chapter 6. And you know, this wasn't the only time this happened, because we also find in Matthew chapter 15 and Mark chapter 8 that the same story is almost repeated, where here it is 7 loaves and a few fish, and 4,000 besides women and children are fed. Jesus is a miracle worker, and he can take what you have to offer, and he can multiply it to meet the need. He can meet the need of the people. He can meet the need of the multitude. He can meet the need of that person that you need to help with the gifts that you have, what you bring to the table. It's what you have been blessed with. And maybe you're thinking, well, I have very little to offer. I'm not rich. I'm not famous. Some of you might even say, I'm not all that well educated. How can God use me? Because I know as we look around today and in today's world and in today's society, it seems like only the rich and famous are the very well educated seem to be able to do anything. They're the ones that people look up to. They're the ones that seem to accomplish. But honestly, that's what we see on the surface. There's all the ordinary folks, the you and the me, that's back there in the background sometimes. I've used an example before, and person that everybody's familiar with, which I understand, I think, as we're preparing this message, he's preparing to celebrate, I think, his 98th birthday, if I remember correctly, and that's evangelist Billy Graham, probably the most famous preacher of our day and age. And you think, oh, he brings a lot to the table. He's famous. And yes, he has money. But he also has an anointing from God. But how often do we think about that person who led Billy Graham to Jesus Christ? If I understand correctly, it was a Sunday school teacher. We don't hear a lot about that particular person. We don't know their name, to my knowledge. God does. And they may have gone through their entire life thinking they had little to bring, little to offer. But yet, they touched that one life who in turn touched millions. You see, it's not always that we are in the spotlight. It's not always that we are the ones that people are talking about. Sometimes you are the one that God has called to be in the background. But God can use you. And God can turn how he uses you into a blessing. I'm not rich. I'm not famous. And a lot of people probably look at me and say, well, really, he doesn't have a lot to offer. But what I do have is myself. What I have to offer is myself. And that's what God wants from you. He really doesn't care about your fame. He doesn't care about your fortune. What he cares about is you. What he cares about is what you bring to the table as yourself. David was not a trained warrior. He didn't have the weapons of war. But God used those five stones. He only had to use one of them, by the way, if you recall correctly. Only one of them got used. Now, I'm told that Goliath had some brothers and that maybe the other stones were just in case. I don't know. But he used that one to slay the enemy. And he can use what you have to offer. You know, I've been in ministry for 50 plus years. And over that period of time, there are times as a pastor you tend to repeat at least some of your sermon titles. One I have used in the past and many years ago was a sermon titled, Little is Much. And that title formed the basis for the message that we're bringing to you today. Because I've been there. I've seen it happen. I grew up in a Christian family, in a Christian home. But like a lot of people, I didn't have anybody important backing me. I didn't have anybody out there important that was, as they say, tooting my horn, that was in there rooting for me and helping me to get ahead. The only person I had on my side most of the time was God. And as doors opened and things went about, God began to speak to my heart about radio ministry. This was back in the 1970s. And God opened up a door that I got on a Christian radio station in Los Angeles, California. I had little to offer. I was just taking classes on how to do broadcasting. I was just learning about broadcasting. I wasn't really bringing a whole lot to the table in many ways, but God put people in my path there that worked with me and taught me things and helped to train me, helped to open a few doors for me. And God branched us out, and over the years we were on a number of stations here in the U.S. And then God opened up the door for us to get on a station called the Caribbean Beacon. And as they were preparing to go on the air when we were first contacted, I wrote back to them that I was interested, and they told me the only slots they had available weren't really anything I was interested in, but I decided I'll take whatever's out there. Whatever's available, I'll take it. So I contacted them back and said, I'll take this time slot. And I had the general manager of the station call me back. And he said, Mr. Unger, he said, I can't sell you that time slot. He says, I'm selling you my personal prime time slot on Saturday evening. Best spot of the whole week was made available to me. I didn't have a whole lot to offer. I didn't have fame. I was unknown. But God opened the door. God was on my side. And over the years, we estimated that we reached 1 million people a week on that particular station. I had little. Sometimes we scraped to pay the radio bill. But God used it. And God saw through it that people came to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. God saw through it that there are still people that we're in contact with today that listened to that broadcast. Why am I telling you this? Because maybe you're thinking you don't have a lot. You don't have what it takes. But if you allow God to use you, what little you do have, God can make much out of it. I know there were times as we were trying to do crusades and go on the mission field for crusades that we didn't have any money. And we preached in various churches. And I know that there were people that could have helped us that did not. But you know what? God took what we had. He blessed it, enabled us to do it. He took the little we had, and He made much out of it. Can I tell you all that God made out of it? No, I can't. I don't know. But I know God used it. God has reached out, and God will use you if you will let Him. So don't let, I don't have anything, I don't have money, I don't have fame, I don't have education, get in your way of serving God. Because God can take what you have and he can use you. I've told this story before, and maybe some of you have heard it before. Met a pastor in Trinidad years ago. And he became a Christian because some Christian fell upon hard times. Needed food for his family. And the only way to get that food was to try to barter for it, to trade something for it. And the only thing he had of any value was his Bible. And I'm sure with much desperation it took for him to trade his Bible for food for his family. Now the gentleman who took his Bible and traded, the merchant, didn't have any use for it. He didn't even believe in it. Tossed it upon a shelf. But the pastor that I met, who was then a young man, saw this Bible on the shelf in his uncle's store, wanted to read it, wanted to look at it, wanted to see if it had pictures in it, because he was looking to see what the Christian's God looked like. Well, he took and began to read that Bible. As a result, he became a Christian. He became a pastor. He became a Christian leader in the nation of Trinidad. I think back to that Christian family who was hungry, who traded a prized possession, a Bible, for food. They had little. They had nothing, it seemed like, to offer. They're probably thinking, God, I don't want to do this, but I need food for my family. And he'll take my Bible in exchange for food. They have a part. And every life that was touched for the kingdom of God because of what happened in their life. And the vast majority of you that are listening to me today that think you have little to offer have more to offer than what that family had. God can use you. Remember David. When he faced Goliath, it only took that one stone. The young boy only had 5 loaves and 2 fish. But God multiplied, God used what they had. And he can use what you have if you are willing to offer it. If you are willing to offer up your life and say, God, use me. And Father, today I pray that you're speaking to someone through this message today. Father, I believe nothing is by chance. Father, that this message is directed at particular hearts today. And help them, Father, to dedicate and to give their life to your service, that they will allow you to use what they have, and you will bless it, and you will multiply it, and you will make it fruitful in the kingdom of God. And maybe there's someone who's listening to this message, whether it's today or somewhere down the road, that they hear, that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they will ask him to come into their heart and life today. Father, I ask this now in Jesus' name. And if you've asked Jesus into your heart today, please let me know. Our contact information is on the website. He'll also be giving it again in just a moment. If you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, I have something I want to send you while the supply lasts. It's called Help for the New Convert. So sit down and contact me today and let me know if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life. God bless you.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.